Good evening, Radioland. How are you all? It's that time, once again, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, CJSF, Bitcouver FM, and boy howdy, do we have something local and fresh for you. Joining me live in the studio is Thomas. How's it going?
I'm going good, I guess. I was about to respond to a different question I imagined you were about to say, and then you didn't say it, so I'm going very good.
What question was that, just so I can ask it?
I thought you were going to ask how I am.
How are
so
you?
I was about to say good.
That's
and then
good.
You said, how's it going?
Yes.
So, I suppose good's probably a...
How's it going, and how are you going, I guess?
I am going good.
Good.
And I am ready to talk, I think, on some local games.
Amazing. For those of you who don't know, Vancouver is a hotbed of not only things like animation and visual design, but also video game development. And our man on the scene, Thomas, courtesy of CJSF and the Public Affairs Department, very kindly went over to the Roundhouse Community Center and went to go check out the Vancouver Game Expo about a week and a half ago over at the Roundhouse Community
Saturdays,
Center.
Yeah.
Amazing. And we've had a few game dev events across Vancouver over the past couple of years, and I think this is their second year.
This was actually, I think, their first year
For
Vancouver Game Expo.
Okay.
So I think they said this was their first year, and they had just an astounding turnout. I think maybe even more than they said. I think across the, it was a one-day event. I think they had 2,000 people come through, so it was packed from the entire time I was there. It was
so
just
good.
Packed to the walls. It was amazing.
So good. And we've got a list of games to talk about. We also have some studios to give a shout out as well too, and we'll be talking more and more about that. Of course, our theme song underneath us from Schnoodlebug, who is a local composer and is also working on his second 3D movie, a sequel to Roach, which came out a while ago. So definitely go check that out. He'll also be having a concert here in January with a couple of other luminaries from the scene, so we'll talk more about that up at the top of the hour. But let's get a little bit of music going, a little bit of local stuff, maybe A Shell in the Pit, and we can talk about them. And shout out to Bryson from A Shell in the Pit. They are a local Vancouver based like kind of sound design and also game design.
Yes, I think more recently game design.
Yeah,
as I spoke with them at the expo. So
fantastic.
But yeah, I think primarily sound. But.
And you got the chance to see several games, and we'll just kind of start off with one that intrigues me because it was built to me as being the most realistic fishing simulator.
Yes, this is the one from Shell and Pit. So this is, I think they've said to me, their first like real dive into a full developed game. So they've done a lot of sound for a ton of different and probably very recognized indie games and among other things, TV shows, and I think some YouTube as well. So there's been a lot of projects they're working on. They told me this is their first kind of dive into games, and this is what they have shown me, and I got to play as the most realistic fishing aquarium simulator. So like housing fish, I got to sit down immediately with it and trying to like, it was so busy, so I was trying to be very cautious, not trying to take up too much time.
Yeah.
So I got right into, I think, my quickly dubbed new tank 18.
Nice.
I picked the biggest one.
Nice.
And I got right in there, and I can definitely speak to how realistic this simulator was. Like, I immediately got to go and explore other tanks and grab some other things to try and put in mine. And I grabbed some fish. I found that aquarium gravel, the stuff that looks like delicious. So I immediately replaced all the sand in the tank with that. And then I grabbed these plants and I immediately set them in. And almost immediately it's telling me, like, these plants can't live in here. There's not enough CO2. So I had to quickly learn about CO2 filtration and all of this.
But, wow.
The entire time it was not, like, overwhelming or threatening. Like, they had essentially a time that you can play around before you actually hit start, and the tank assumes realism. I assume if I had ever like really pushed that button too quickly or didn't come out of my safe zone, that my fish may have not been as well taken care of, as I'm not personally an expert yet.
So it looks like this game came out a couple years ago.
Yes, they said it came out a couple years ago, but I believe they said they've got they've been updating it since, so they're getting new updates, and they're showing, I think, some of the new stuff here at the expo. So we got to play around with it.
Nice. There we go. And you can pick this game up on Steam. It's described as a detailed and highly sophisticated freshwater aquarium simulator, lovingly crafted by enthusiasts for enthusiasts. And we were talking last week about that old, I think, a Dreamcast game.
Yes,
yeah, Seaman.
We had mentioned Seaman.
So Seaman to me was kind of the my first experience with, I guess, aquarium or fishing simulator games outside of Bass Pro, Fisher,
yeah.
those kind
well,
of things.
And yeah, I think those are more aimed at like the Bass Pro stuff is usually aimed at actually like fishing, like game fishing.
Yeah.
This was aquarium keeping, and Seaman was definitely.
It was just a weird game.
A weird pioneer of kind of the fish gaming market.
Yeah. So good. A Shell in the Pit. Definitely go check out their website, ashellinthepit.com. Again, shout outs to Bryson and everybody over there. They've done sound for such games as Untitled Goose Game. Amazing.
Yes.
Great game. Jet O'Mero, Wandersong, and Eichenfell are, I believe, Vancouver games. They also did Godfall, Sneaky Sasquatch, Smarter Every Day, Chicory, also another great, great Vancouver game, Veritasium. They've done a whole bunch. Hey, there's Fish Game.
There is so much they've done. It's
Big Walk.
So impressive.
Yeah.
And I should actually, before they let me know as I mm-hmm. spoke with them, if you're interested in Fish Game and you're interested in it, it sounds like something you're into. They did let me know that the winter sale coming up on Steam, that it should be among the discounts there. So if you're looking to pick it up at a discount, I think the winter sale for Steam, I want to say, is in a week or maybe a bit over that. So if the Fish Game intrigues you, it should be on that list.
Excellent. Next on the list, we had Fresh Tracks.
Yes, Fresh Tracks from the studio Buffalo Buffalo was one that I got to get up close with. And it was such a unique experience because it is pitched as a rhythm game roguelike on skis. So the entire thing is played, you're moving down a track, and it's got very much elements of a rhythm game in the sense of something kind of like Beat Saber. So you've got things coming at you, and you're moving kind of side to side, you're slashing enemies. It was just a very cool aesthetic to it, too. It's got both like the fantasy elements as you kind of swing in the sword while you're on the skis, but at the same time, it's got like not quite vaporwave, but these the best way I can describe them is just these rhythm game kind of visuals that just are very fun to sink into.
Full voice acting as well.
Yep.
Nice. Oh, wow. Peter Stormare. Oh, wow. Okay, that's I mean, he is a, if I want to, yeah, he was. He was in Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. I think. That's crazy. That's really cool.
I don't even think in my time playing that I actually even got to the voice acting, but that they did, I think they mentioned that it had all the voice acting and,
dynamically responsive soundtrack, it says on their site
that,
here too.
And also they, let me know that, while you're playing the game, you can kind of, they've got all the soundtracks and all the soundtracks act as a different level, and you can, in the sense that it is a roguelike, you can select the track you start on, and from there it will kind of randomly generate all the tracks into a different way that you'll play through it each time. So no two kind of ways that you move through it will be identical, which was a really, really fun way for me to, especially with the rhythm game, keep it fresh and keep it fun to play time and time again.
Buffalo Buffalo, the studio based here in Vancouver, and a lot of the, I'm pretty sure that pretty much all of these studios that went to this expo are local.
Many of them, yes.
Yeah,
I can't say for certain all. I guess I haven't fact checked all of them. There's many there, but many of them, if not all of them, were local.
That's so good. And just looking on the website, again, if you want to go check out the website of the expo, it's vangameconnect.ca, and that has all the information. Hey, Don't Starve. Yeah, I always forget that Don't Starve was made here as well too.
Yep,
made by Clay Entertainment. Yeah, very cool. Duck Game. Duck Game's pretty fun as well too.
I don't think I've played Duck Game actually.
It's like Contra or Duke Nukem mixed with ducks,
awesome.
Kind of thing. And not just studios and indie studios and bigger studios, but also student games as well too, mm-hmm. which was really cool. So good. Oh, hey, they also had some vendors too. That's always good.
Yeah, there's many vendors I got to see.
All my sketches. Nice. Oh, Sam. Hey, shout out Sam. Sam Kolensky. I see him every year at the Vancouver Retro Gaming Expo. Yeah. He has really, really great illustrations. And Jelly Roll as well, too. Eric's. Yeah. All these wonderful things. It's nice to have these events multiple times throughout the year. Kind of the big one for the gaming and the... especially the retro gaming community here is the Vancouver Retro Gaming Expo, which mm-hmm. happens in June every year. Big shout outs to Game Deals and Brian for putting that on. And they always have game devs that are demoing their games. So it's nice to have a dedicated thing each year, and can't wait for the one next year. So I'll absolutely be going to that. Fresh Tracks by Buffalo. Buffalo.
And I think they did say also that one specifically, I think it right now is out on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, and has both a VR and a non-VR version, so it's very accessible, no matter how you want to kind of get to it. It is, it's available, and I think they had another VR game.
Yeah.
Give me the card here. Another VR game called Birdseed that is essentially... bird watching through a VR. So if you've got a VR headset and you're looking for some new or upcoming games to kind of pick up and sink your teeth into, it looks like Buffalo had a couple of very solid options here that I got to take a look at.
Sweet. Next on our list, we had The Art of Reflection.
Yeah, now this one absolutely captivated me. This is kind of one of my favorite types of puzzle games. It's a first-person puzzle game that acts kind of on perspective. So think something similar to kind of like Portal. Mm-hmm. The way you play through it, I think the best way it is described right on their Steam page is that you... traverse mirrors as if they were extensions of natural space. So you kind of look at these anchor points in the games through reflections, and you have to set mirrors in certain places or find the right place to look at it mm-hmm. to actually travel to it. And it is it looks just amazing. Oh. It is so visually stunning, and the way you move through it is so trippy and atmospheric that I could not take my eyes off this when I was playing it. I went, wow. This one, I believe, this one is also out right now. So if you're looking to pick it up, I think it's available right now.
It just came out like a week ago.
Just brand new, yes.
Oh, amazing.
At the expo, they told me that it was just about to come out. And then by the time kind of had done the expo, and I think I talked to Nicole earlier this week and touched on it briefly, it was out by then. So this is one I definitely plan on jumping into over the holidays.
Oh, amazing. And that Steam Winter Sale is a great way to pick up a lot of especially indie games and those kind of things go on discount. Steam, for those of you who don't know, it is a massive platform primarily for PC gaming, and it allows publishers to self-publish, and you can also build communities around games mm-hmm. as well too, and it's a great way to track users and kind of the society around games as well, and also is a great way for publishers and developers to get feedback on their games very quickly. Oh,
makes
so cool.
It so and very accessible for I think game development. A lot of it just is easy to get on.
Oh yeah,
easier to get on Steam than maybe some of the other platforms, such as the consoles or whatnot. So it's a great place to check out.
And
what's happening?
Itch.io is another really good site as mm-hmm. well too. That one's a little more kind of independent based, but between the two of them, you've got your bases covered when it comes to games. And absolutely, everyone go check out the Steam sale that happened. The big ones are summer and winter sale, and they always make my wallet take a hit. So
yeah, I can't remember if Hydrozoa from The Art of Reflection mentioned that it was going to come up on Steam sale, but
probably they want to. I think because it just came out, I would imagine they want to build up some player base.
They very well might be. So yeah. I think it's probably worth, I think it might be on sale right now, actually.
Yes, it's 10% off, so a little over $20 Canadian for a brand new game, which for something that's made local here, and it also is a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of puzzle games as well, too.
I love a puzzle game.
One that I can recommend to you if you haven't played it yet is Gorogoa.
I have not.
Really, really good game. This is an incredible game. You can play through it in about an hour or two. They have it on Steam and Switch and consoles and everything. And it has a kind of sliding tile interface. And so you you slide various pieces of the puzzle around to move into... It's a bit of a click and point and slide adventure kind of thing.
Like a lock mechanism.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the soundtrack's really good. Speaking of soundtracks, a lot of these games also sell their soundtracks on Steam, and people can go and support them on Bandcamp as well, too. Yeah. Oh, so good. Next on our list, we also have Grid Hack from Threshold Anomaly.
Yes, Grid Hack was the other puzzle game I got to watch my friend who I attended with. They went with me. They are someone who's done computer science and some game development, so I thought I'd take them along to give me a more informed opinion on some of the things happening in case I miss. But Grid Hack was one of their favorites from the event. I think the best way I kind of saw Grid Hack and can describe it to give just a picture is essentially a sci-fi themed battle game where the battle is done through like Sudoku, essentially. Like it's a puzzle game that has this turn-based combat, and it's like you're playing almost like a game like Sudoku, but you're fighting someone else, which is a really fun,
cool,
new, interesting take on something that is like a very classical kind of type of puzzle, like that style of
it almost looks game. Like PvP Minesweeper a bit,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly. So something, those are great, I think, kind of a similes to describe it by now. Neither is, like, the game isn't actually and Sudoku or
it's got
or
a nice visual set, style. It has that, it's like 3D, but a bit of cel-shaded in there too.
It looks stunning. I was really happy to see, pretty much from the entire expo, that it feels like the dark age of gaming being this desaturated space from like 2011 to 2019.
Brown shooters.
Yeah, color is back and more vibrant than ever, and it was so evident in the expo, and I think Grid Hack is an excellent example of something that just is so fun to look at the whole time.
So cool. Oh, and a little bit of top-down. I love me an isometric game. I was chatting with one of my friends. Shout out to Megan Rose Lotus. And she was playing a little bit of Hades last night.
Yes.
And we were talking about that kind of top-down game because that same studio also did Transistor. I don't know if you ever have played that one.
I haven't
one.
Played Transistor.
That's Hades. It's isometric, so it's that top-down angled view, but it's a turn-based combat, so you can kind of like draw your path around the enemies and then you execute that, and there's some hacking elements as well. And then Hades is it's a roguelike.
I'm familiar with Hades.
Hades 1 and Hades 2, which actually won a whole bunch of awards recently, and we'll yak a bit more about the awards show in a bit here. So absolutely go check that out from local studio Threshold Anomaly, Grid Hack. And last on our list, of course, there's so many. Please go check out the website.
Yes, I could not even scratch the surface of the amount that was here. I only got a small handful of gold from this river of only gold, it seemed like.
Yeah.
It seemed like everyone was having such a blast, it was hard to even get around because everything was packed.
For me, it's so important for us to support kind of our local game industry here. And that's part of the reason why I started this show a long time ago, was to support local chiptune, local music, local studios as well. Because the music is amazing, but there's also the whole community that goes along with it. The programmers, the coders, the artists, the writers, people who put out the game as well, marketing and publishing. It's a team effort to put out a whole game like this. So when you hear of people making their own effort, we really want to support that. So,
and I think
so
that was one of those beautiful things about going to this expo, is just all of the community here and all of the game devs really propping each other up and supporting each other and having a great time this whole day. Like, it was over 9 or 10 hours, the whole thing went, and just fun the whole time.
Sweet, Sweet. Last on the list of what you had a chance to play, from Silver String Media Incorporated, Green Hearth Necromancer.
Yes, this was one that actually I think we got to right out the gate, me and my friend. And this one is a cozy game with like a witchy sort of twist. So it is all about, it's a little bit simulation, not like I think a scientifically accurate kind of like we looked at Fish Game, but it is a simulation of growing plants, but with this necromancer twist on it. So there's both living and dead plants you can grow. The art style is so stinking cute to me.
That's so cool.
It almost reminds me of like a visual novel. Like
oh,
the way,
absolutely.
Like a page is drawn.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It kind of almost looks like some of the old Telltale games from when they were doing kind of those visual novels.
It gives me.
Adaptions.
Do you ever play Beautiful
yes,
Joe?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That kind of outline style, but a little more 2D flat,
yes.
But still very lively. Yeah.
Very lively, and it feels like you're kind of like looking almost into a book as you're kind of growing these plants in this little very cozy space. It's got this skyline, and it's just very cute. If you're into the cozy game scene and you like just something to put on and play, I think my friend went home and told me they immediately grabbed the demo and had started playing it immediately. Like this was something they were just putting on, playing in the background as they went about their day, and it very much feels like that.
So good.
Fits that mood entirely.
Raise a garden from the dead. That's a great way to and you know it, yes, there's all the work that goes into the game, but also promotion of the game is so important.
Yes.
That's why these events are super good, because you can build hype not only within the community of people who are building and making and designing games, but also these expos are a chance for the public to kind of see behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
do some play testing, also give feedback to developers about what they like, things to improve, and just general comments as well. So
it's very cool, yeah, when you're there at the expo and you get to speak with the developers and you get to kind of even see their process, and then it even makes the developers themselves, like, you recognize their work more. And I think that's a really cool part, to be able to go and see that artistic process kind of come to fruition in these kinds of events. So
we had a series of concerts a few years ago with the Vancouver Chip Music Society, and yes, there was music and visuals, but there was always someone who was exhibiting a game. So it was like a mini expo there, and they had small hardware games on Game Boy, they had PC games to play, retro games, and it just reminded me of how integrated the community is in this
yes.
town, between animators and designers, programmers, sound folks, media and broadcast like ourselves. And it, more so than any other city I've been in, I find the Vancouver scene to be very enmeshed in many different levels.
Yeah, I think I would agree.
The music
with that.
Scene is the same kind of thing. People find out, oh, you're playing in this band. And it's like, mm-hmm. oh, you did sound for this game.
Yes.
Oh, and then you're doing visuals for that game. Oh, cool. Yeah, it's very, very, very cool.
Hand in hand.
Yeah,
it's
so
very nice.
You know, we have we have some big names here in Vancouver. Obviously, EA is one of the big ones. And then we have some kind of macro indie mm-hmm. folks like Shell in the Pit. What was it? It was Gearbox Games. I can't remember, but some of the Need for Speed games were also here too.
That sounds right to me. I'd need to be fact checked, but that sounds right to me.
But there's a lot of indie developers and indie composers here, and there's a strong scene, and definitely would recommend you to go check out people's works and go support them. Not only buy the games, but buy the soundtrack. And go out to events, because events are happening all year round. Obviously, Retro Gaming Expo in June, and next year, Vancouver Gaming Expo coming up. From time to time, back in the day, there was GDC, which is Game mm-hmm. Developers Conference, which I think doesn't have... I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's moved, but let's see. I feel like there was... Yeah, the Festival of Gaming, yeah. There was another one, the Game Developers Conference, which sometimes happens. Yeah, GDC Canada, and that happens from time to time. I don't know if they still do that, but that was kind of like the precursor to this Vancouver Gaming Expo. Yeah, very, very cool. And then GDC was a massive, like, big industry event, but at the same time, it wasn't just AAA games.
No.
There's a lot of games. And we were actually talking before the show started about how it really is up to independent game developers to push the boundary of what it means to make a good game and an artistic game.
Yeah, to make art in the form of games. I think it really is right now the indie developers that are kind of holding that torch. I think maybe a lot of the gaming industry right now has grown a little bit stagnant in their positions, and they're very molded, especially AAA style, to those positions, and it doesn't seem like a lot is pushing that envelope, and the indie developers definitely are. I think they are, if you are looking for something inspirational kind of in terms of an art, and gaming is where you like to turn for that, you will find no better place than the indie scene right now.
Absolutely. And maybe one more thing we can yak on, a little bit of these game awards that are kind of coming up, because we were talking about some of the impact of some of these games, and I'll just click on the big one that's coming up right now is the Game Awards, and then we just had the Streamer Awards a few days ago. That one's pretty good. Shout out to everyone who was nominated and who won there. Let's see what we've got here. So for Game of the Year, I mean, some big ones. Clair Obscur, mm-hmm. Expedition 33. Yep. That was they definitely challenged the medium of gaming one, and the art style was fantastic. Hades 2, another Hades 2. Fantastic, and also the sequel to Hollow Knight, Silksong. Yeah, I love the soundtrack on that.
I have been hearing no end to it. It is such a charming game, and I'm glad that it is getting kind of this recognition that I think it is very deserving of.
That's on my to-play list, Ghost of Yote, but I have to buy a PS5 for
that's
that.
The issue, isn't it, right? I also don't have a PlayStation 5.
Yeah,
right,
maybe when it comes out for PC. Kingdom Come Deliverance, also, really, really cool game, and it's interesting when a game decides to do something different outside of that AAA, and for lack of a better word, there's a rinse and repeat that comes with certain types of games.
Absolutely.
A lot of FPS games, a lot of RPGs, and I even remember watching a video of someone talking about how open world games are getting exhausting because much to do in a game. And it's not to say that everything needs to be linear or everything needs to be open world, but it's almost like a reduction of choice can be a good thing sometimes in games.
I 100% agree. I think originally, I think one of the captivating reasons for why an open world used to be so impressive is like the technological limitation usually meant that linear design is what it had to be. And I think a lot of developers found great ways to work within a linear design. The technology obviously developed and everyone kind of moved to having these big open worlds, but sometimes these open worlds, they feel a little empty because they're not that fleshed out. And the art of maybe making a linear type game is not as explored maybe as it used to be. So I think I entirely agree with your point there that despite having a larger open world, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is a bigger, fuller game.
Yeah. The Game Awards are a significant one. There's some of these awards shows are voted on by the community. Some are more similar to like the Academy Awards, where it's a panel of industry experts and previous winners. And it just the fact that we're having video game awards shows just shows me how far
is crazy
the medium has come,
and in such a way that like you look at how the game awards and these shows go today versus how they were back in the early 2000s, where we don't like to maybe talk about them to now being this very prestige, very respected presentation. I think it's wonderful to see that celebrated in a way that I think gaming deserves.
Even the British Academy of Film Television Arts, they also have a Game Awards, the BAFTA Game Awards, and those are usually in the spring, so kind of Academy Awards kind of time. Some are in the winter in December, some are a little bit later once they've had the full yearly cycle to get through things. Definitely there's the Game Awards. That's the one I was remembering, the Golden Joystick. So Golden Joystick is also known as the People's Gaming Awards. So it they're originally voted only by the members of the public in Britain. So it was pretty
I've actually heard of this one.
So, and then let's see if they've got the most recent ones up. Claire Obscure also got Peak as well. Shout out Peak. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people are having fun. That's another thing that I've noticed, that a lot of games that are single player seem to dominate some of these awards, just because it's so narrative and visual driven, that a lot of the multiplayer side of gaming, which was a significant part of gaming,
I think is and always will be. Yeah. But I think you are right in that a single player narrative can often overshadow, at least that typically will be able to get to those heartstrings maybe more so than